reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 1, Text 3. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktavinda. So text 3. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Manda Patergati Matsarva Sutadam Bojo Radha Madhara Mohano. Glory to the All Merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. Omigana Timurandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Nutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadana Sanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayam Amanabip Sunandham Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Dupi Sanatanastham Prabhu Masriyami. Varagya yugbhakti rasam payatnai apayama manabhipsamandam kripam buhiya paraduka duhi sanatanastam prabhu mastriyami. Vansha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So, greetings from New Jersey. I hope that's not too disappointing. And I hope that the class can continue with its same fervor. Now, I can all join you in the separation mood from Vrindavan, and therefore perhaps I can even communicate better that mood. And perhaps that's also the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll read here coming up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the last 18 years of his life, he showed us how to practice devotional service. And his practice of devotional service, of course it was in the Dham, but it wasn't in Vrindavan. But it was in the mood of hankering for Vrindavan, just a humble reminder to people on the conference, if they could please mute their phones. I believe you pressed button number 6. There's others, if you don't, then people hear each other, people breathing and et cetera, and other noises in the background, and it could disturb to some extent. So he was in that mood of separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham, and hopefully I can carry that mood. And Krishna consciousness primarily, if we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, we must be anugata. We must follow the path and the footsteps treaded by our predecessors, acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada certainly showed us that higher than living in Vrindavan is to give Vrindavan. Prabhupada had the simultaneous, like the level of prema we're reading in the spiritual world, that the level of prema has two embankments, that river to flow powerfully. It must have the embankment of union and the embankment of separation. So for us, Srila Prabhupada established the embankment of tasting and the embankment of distribution. And this actually applies to all of us. Of course, as a sannyasi, I'm free from other responsibilities just to concentrate on this alone. But everyone, anugata, following the path of Srila Prabhupada, even when Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha, if we read his life, although he took care of his material responsibilities, he was trying to distribute. He was trying to distribute Vrindavan. And this is also very, very much the complementary side of tasting Krishna consciousness, because the compassion that we show for others and the sacrifice and dedication we show for others will open our hearts for tasting Krishna consciousness. But of course, we also have to realize that to spread Krishna consciousness, we must also taste it. I think it was Bori John Prabhu who shared with me his realization how compassion is based on our experience of Krishna consciousness. When you have an experience of Krishna consciousness, you really feel for others who are lacking it. And that inspires you very much to want to give it. The prayer we chanted to Sanatan Goswami, Vairagya Bhakti Risham Priyatnaya Payam Mam Anadipsamandam Kripambhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanas Tam Prabhamasa Paraduka Duki, that he has no suffering, but his paradukha dukhi. He has no suffering except paradukha dukhi. He suffers for others. And this is very, very much the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Krishna consciousness, because we know, especially in this age, our qualifications are very nil, even the best of us in austerities, the best of us in knowledge, the best of us in charity, actually, from a relative standpoint to the whole history of all the yugas, it's relatively nil. And therefore, we're very much dependent on mercy. To spread Krishna consciousness and to advance in Krishna consciousness. And by distributing Krishna consciousness, certainly there's so much mercy. I'm a little bit ahead of you in the Chaitanya Charitamrita because I was actually teaching. I started teaching it every day in Vrindavan. And I found a wonderful, wonderful verse, which I'm trying to find right now. Here it is. It's the mood of Krishna Das Kaviraj, and actually I decided to write my Vyasa Puja offering to Prabhupada based on this. It says, I offer innumerable obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is so kind that he spread the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj. Rasika Bhaktamaj, the topmost relisher and communicator of the highest subjects of Krishna consciousness, he's falling with innumerable obeisances at the lotus feet, koti namaskar, to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because bhakti yeno, layo yaila, shamsara. Because he is one who caused the whole world to take the devotional service. And we advance by the pleasure. We advance in bhakti by bhakti. And what does bhakti mean? Bhakti means that we want to please Krishna, and we want to please his representatives. And by pleasing Sri Krishna and his representatives, we advance by that type of reciprocation. And that mood to please must be there. Anyway, he's offering obeisances to who kindly spread the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So he's so kind. And therefore, I was thinking very much about Srila Prabhupada, who is so kind to spread the service. Who can deny that Srila Prabhupada spread the service, the bhakti, the service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world? And even we'll see later on, I'm going ahead and I'll get back to today's verse. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very much glorifies Lord Nityananda. And it's very significant because this, as he this is the very beginning of the Madhya Leela, and he first describes that this Madhya Leela, that actually there's two basic divisions of the Chaitanya, of the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His first 24 years before he took sannyas and the 24 years after he took sannyas, perfectly divided in half. So the first 24 years is called the Adi Leela, and the last 24 years is called the Sesha Leela, the End Leela. And the End Leela has two parts, the Madhya Leela, the 6 years which Tanya Mahaprabhu is preaching, and the Antya Leela, the last 18 years in Jagannath Puri, where he showed us how to practice a devotional service. And he's going to describe this, and this is a very, very inconceivable subject, but this is the internal reason for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent. But how is he able to stay in Puri and cultivate the mood of Srimati Radharani, and at the same time fulfill the external reason for his descent, which is to spread the holy name all over the world and to increase the feelings of spontaneous devotional service? When we say the external and internal mood, it's not, external means what he does for others, internal means what he does for himself. So how is he able to take to the external mission? It's done through Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Just like Krishna is enjoying rasa in Vrindavan, and he expands as Balaram, in all affairs of existence and knowledge. So Balaram is the servitor Godhead. And the servitor Godhead means he takes all the responsibilities and work of Sri Krishna. So Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani, the Shakti and the Purna Shakti, Rasa Vaisaha, can simply enjoy rasa. So similarly, in that same mood, Lord Nityananda, he spread the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is very, very wonderful if we can meditate in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we can assist and allow Sri Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enjoy what they want for themselves by taking up the mission that they are doing for others. and therefore be an object of pleasure. How much I offer koti namaskar, obeisances and obeisances. Again and again, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is saying to Lord Nityananda, who has spread the glories. So this is how I'm trying to relieve my separation from Vrindavan. And I generally was doing in Vrindavan, I was trying to share with you some of the things that were there that I experienced, and hopefully I can share some of the experience of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the way we enter Vrindavan. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the form of Vrindavan. It's the consciousness of Vrindavan in another form. And it's understood very, very clearly by Narottam Das Thakur that by serving the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Dasyara, in the mood of servitude, by serving the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says in that song, I quoted it last time, by diving deep into the ocean of the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya, we arrive at the shore of Radha and Krishna. So hopefully, one of the perhaps services I can try to do here, and I should be in that mood, is that by assisting Srila Prabhupada in his mission to take the mood of Vrindavan to others, somehow or other, within that mission and the form of that mission, is the consciousness of Vrindavan. And what is the ultimate consciousness of Vrindavan? The ultimate consciousness of Vrindavan is selfless service. It is priti. It is the consciousness of Vrindavan is priti. And remember, from Priti Sandarbha, I gave that definition of priti. It's the desire to serve, the desire to serve one's beloved, the desire to be with one's beloved for the purpose of service, mixed with the happiness of doing so. And that consciousness that exists in Braja, the consciousness of priti, it exists in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when you try to serve that mission. I'll just say one other thing about this and then go on. And hopefully, as I'm giving these classes in not Vrindavan, somehow I'll find my thread of inspiration. But when I was I arrived in JFK Airport, I'm very sorry, I was very disappointed I couldn't be on the Sunday Sangha. I think I misunderstood my flights and didn't realize that I had actually changed it about 6 months ago, and didn't realize that by changing it there would be I would have to stay a day in Amman, Jordan, and I couldn't get back in time for the Sangha. I was very disappointed about that. But one thing, a realization, of course, I have to say, whenever I come back to America, it was really wonderful in Vrindavan this time. I mean, every time is wonderful, but this was really special, and I think it was special because I had so much service. And that's the mood of Vrindavan. The mood of Vrindavan is service, and if you're in Vrindavan in a mood of service, then that mood of service actually reveals the Dham. And I always tell that story when His Holiness Radhanath Swami was, he joined in Vrindavan. He met devotees even before he met ISKCON. He was so attached, and then he had to leave. And he didn't come back for 10 years. And I can't imagine if someone told me right now that I couldn't come back to Vrindavan even for a year, how I would be able to survive. That's been my home for so many years. And so he didn't come back for 10 years. And when he came back, he came into Mathura by train. And then he walked along the bank of the Jamuna to come to Vrindavan. And I was one of the first persons that he saw And when he saw me, he folded his hands, and he very humbly he said, "Is there any service for me?" So that's the experience of one who has, that's the mood of one who understands what is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the mood of humble service. But still, I was saying, I was in Vrindavan, and I'm even now thinking, my mind keeps on going back to Terekadamba. I went there about 5 or 6 times. I'm popularizing this place. I hope it doesn't become popular, because it's so secluded and so sublime and amazing place to think of Vrindavan. So I'm thinking of these places, and I think also when I stepped out of Vrindavan, basically for the first time in 6 months, then I could actually even more strongly appreciate the surcharged spiritual atmosphere and the dust of Vrindavan and the sadhus of Vrindavan and the lilasthans of Vrindavan and the deities of Vrindavan. So I mean, whenever I get back, and of all places to arrive, JFK is definitely the most depressing airport. And it's almost so, anyway, so when I arrive back, and then after getting out of the airport, somehow I always arrive in March or the end of February. It's very dark, and it's towards the twilight time when the ghosts and the hobgoblins come out. Anyway, I'm riding on the highway, and I'm going to New Jersey to stay with Govardhan Lal and Jai Subhadra. Govardhan Lal picked me up. And I remember when I drive down that highway on the Belt Parkway, I'll get back into this CC in a second. When I get back to this, the highway, it exactly passes. Practically, you could see the house where I grew up from the highway. You know, and of all places, right of the place where I was born and where I grew up, you can actually see it. Practically see it right from the highway. And the distinct feeling I had this time is I had absolutely no attraction. And not only had no attraction, but when I meditate on it, as I just passed it, I really had a wonderful feeling of mercy that invoked love in my heart for Srila Prabhupada, because I saw, you know, what he actually gave me and what he's given us in terms of the holy name and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Dham. But specifically, I was meditating on the Dham, what he has given and to who he has given. I always describe that the force of mercy it increases according to the distance between the value of what one's getting and the qualification he has for it. So when I was thinking where I was at and what I am getting, I felt so much mercy, so much gratitude. And I was also understanding how these feelings of mercy and gratitude are also core components of the heart of a Brijvasi that actually I need to cultivate, and actually how being here in the West, representing Srila Prabhupada and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the humble in the mood of humble service, how more and more that gratitude, and the other thing is I also felt, and I thought this was, I felt compassion that so many people, and fortune, that so many people, most people, don't have this jewel of Braja Bhakti, this jewel of Vrindavan consciousness, which Srila Prabhupada carried with him in his heart when he came to America. And I actually felt very thankful that I could feel, yes, people are lacking this. And we have to give that to them. Okay, now we'll go to the verses here. I lost track where we are, but this one, we're on text 3, but I since the previous, such a wonderful verse, Jayatam Sura To Pangor, Mama Mandam Mater Viti Matsar Vasa Padam Bojo. Radhamat, glory, this is Krishna Das Kaviraj. I don't know, perhaps he has actually composed these verses, because there's no purport or footnote saying that they've come from someplace else. And therefore, you can imagine that his, as you mentioned before, he's kavi. He's poet. And he's not only kavi or poet, but he's empowered to actually explain the essence. He can conceptualize and express the essence of the most confidential subject matters. And things that are confidential have to be given to those who are confidants. In other words, to write transcendental poetry, just your ability to write poetry is not enough. You have to have the inspiration to communicate. Now, I described before that saying that there's inspiration, perspiration, inspiration. All great art, all great poetry, all great literature begins with inspiration. And then the poet who has the my godbrother used the word, I like the word craft, who has the word craft, he can take that inspiration and put it in the form. And if it's rasa, if it's spiritual emotion, the only form that you can actually express that is in poetry. He can put it, and it's so much perspiration, so much work, and then you get the same emotion that inspired you in your heart in this poetic form. And then people who are somewhat qualified and desirous to achieve this sense of rasa or emotion, then when they read those poems which encapsulate the original inspiration of the spiritual world, it's communicated to them. But just think that first it must begin with the inspiration. And that inspiration can only come by mercy. And mercy or anugraha is the reciprocation of a higher entity to your respect and love for them. In other words, he is a confidant of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and their associates. And therefore, he's bestowed with this incredible realization. And then by his poetic ability, he's able to put this in writing so that the spirit and the flavor of the spiritual world can be tasted. The Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Amrita, the eternal. Amrita means without death, it means immortal, but it means nectar, because what's actually nectar is reality. Leif Prabhupada's godbrother, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, wrote a book, Reality is Beautiful. This reality is what? It's Shakti and Shaktiman. It's Sri Krishna and Srimati Radhika and their loving exchanges. That's actually what exists when you become free from illusion. Jayatam Surato Pangor. So he's saying, glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. And I think what I'm going to do is today, just to get it started, I want to get some verses, not just by numbers, but to keep some continuity in the subject matter. But to begin again, what's happening here is you have Krishna Das Kaviraj, who's immensely talented. But even though he's immensely talented and immensely knowledgeable, he understands very, very carefully, clearly, that the subject matter in which he is to express, the task at hand is basically impossible by his own limited power. And I described that before, the difference between scholarship and realization, and I want to repeat that again. I'm searching here for the clarity that I felt I had in Vrindavan, but this is just starting up again. But again, scholarship, I came up with this phrase, and I think it's worth repeating, is a collection of knowledge. And realization is a selection of knowledge. So how to actually, with all the knowledge you have, actually put it together in the appropriate way to actually communicate that inspiration that you have. And what to speak, how to get that inspiration. It has to come by mercy. So although he's so learned and although he's so qualified, he doesn't feel independently capable of writing transcendental literature. Someone please mute your phone or something. Someone got on just now. And just please mute your phone because I can hear something. Okay. Because I'm struggling today, and this is taking concentration. But so what he's doing is he's expressing his need. In other words, if you want mercy, you have to express need. The reason why a person's proud, he may not have anything, but if you're proud, you can't get mercy. Why? Because Krishna is looking at us, and if we're in the mood that I don't need help, that help won't come. So the devotee wants that help, and he realizes that he needs that help. And therefore, he puts himself in a very, very humble mood. There's two reasons why in every Vaishnav literature, in every Vaishnav talk, there is some Mangalacharan. And as Prabhupada translates in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that Mangalacharan means invoking auspiciousness. In other words, there's something that has to be invoked. And there's two reasons. One, that because to write and speak Vaishnav literature, to actually have the proper selection of knowledge and the proper inspiration on what to speak, and the ability to actually describe the unlimited, incomprehensible Supreme Lord in an appropriate way, you have to have some delegation of power from above. And at the same time, a Vaishnava who is about to undertake a very powerful service, a service that will take a tremendous amount of accomplishment. I mean, just imagine what he has to undertake. He has to write, and this is not just the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is written in the last year of his life. This is the very, very last year of his life, which means he's already in his 90s. So he not only needs some delegation of some higher inspiration and power to actually, even if you have someone, we see that, you know, why sometimes we give a good class and sometimes we don't. It may be the same amount of knowledge, but there's somehow other, in a humble state of mind, in the proper mood and proper consciousness, we're given some access to that knowledge. I know this myself. When I speak, what I try to achieve, I call it the level of unconscious competence. That you know, I've read, I've studied, the knowledge is there, but there takes a certain humility and confidence to enable you to actually access that knowledge. But there's another point here. Whenever the Vaishnava has some accomplishment, he's always cognizant of the fundamental principle that put him in this material world, which is the false ego. And Prabhupada describes, in fact, that the Mahatattva, the collective material energy, he said, is the basis of material energy is the collective false ego. The basis of everything, the basis by which everything in this world grows is the ahankara, the conception and the desire that I am the doer and I am the controller. And that ahankara, that false ego, is always seeking to use anything it can to increase to satisfy its desire that I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. So here, when someone is going to speak, or any type of accomplishment, one is always cognizant of this false ego, that if I say something nice, if I say something good, if I give good class, if I accomplish something in some project, etc., will that false ego ruin my spiritual life by taking credit for it, that I am the controller and I am the... In other words, I described also, it's just so interesting that I described the process of rationalization. I described that we've done so many things makes wrong, etc. And maybe in our hearts sometimes we feel, actually, I've erred, I'm very embarrassed. But we can always watch how the intelligence, rationalization process says, no, it wasn't actually that, it was circumstantial, it wasn't so bad, etc., 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 etc. And I described, rationalization is the intelligence in the service of the false ego. So the false ego, the basic material principle, is trying to use all assets that are given to us by God in the service of that material conception. And therefore, a Vaishnava is so careful and always is putting himself in the mood, the humble mood that I have no qualification, and whatever good I do is the mercy of Sri Guru and the Supreme Lord. And it's not just a psychological fact. It may have a psychological effect, but it's actually true. Even from an ontological viewpoint, we're a tiny particle of consciousness. And what's invested within us is the ability to desire to actually be a servant of Krishna, and that is our glory, because that actually belongs to us. What actually belongs to us is the will and desire in the heart, and the glory of a soul is that it acts as a soul. That it actually overcomes the ahankara and develops the real ego. That I am the humble servant of Krishna. And this is the basis of spiritual life. And I was actually mentioning that before, that the nature of Vrindavan, The nature of Vrindavan is that it has a potency to invoke within us prakriti bhav, the mood that I am for the pleasure of Krishna, and the mood that is my actual happiness. So actually, we'll see these prayers. It's so nice. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madama, and his own description. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. Guti, Matsarvasa, their refuge is everything to me. And this is actually the core spiritual concept. If he's going to write spiritual literature, he has to be in a spiritual consciousness to realize that absolute reality. And what is that spiritual consciousness? That Krishna is my shelter. And what is shelter? Shelter is where your needs are provided. Will you actually understand that what I need and what I have is coming from that absolute reality, and therefore I am completely dependent on him. And in that dependence on him, I can be used for his service. And that is the mood. So he's trying to keep, not only that, he has this consciousness. They are everything for me. They are my directors. I am going to write this book, but it's not going to be by my power and knowledge. It's going to be in mercy, because why? I am pungo. I am one who is lame. Munda mati. Mati means foolish. Munda means the opinion or the attitude or the intelligence of munda being very, very munda or slow. The same word is there. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato mati. The spiritual consciousness, spiritual mati or consciousness, the spiritual opinion is Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato, the mood. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato, the mood of affection and love for Krishna, the desire to serve him in the core of the heart. And that is the treasure of the Vaishnava. And if he wants to express spiritual subject of spiritual understanding, you have to, if he wants to write something spiritual, then one has to actually act and live on a spiritual platform. That I am dependent on Krishna. So, glory to the all-merciful, I am, yet they are my directors and the lotus feet everything. And this is to Madan Mohan. So he's actually going to give the three verses to Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, which represent Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Priyojana Gyan, the three categories of knowledge, the three categories of spiritual. You must have a conception of reality, which means your relationship with Krishna. Abhideya Gyan, you must have a method of realizing that. And Priyojana Gyan, or the goal, you must have an understanding or knowledge of the experience of realizing your relationship with Krishna. So first there is prayer to Madan Mohan. Madan means what? Lust, the material consciousness. Mohan means that Krishna is the conqueror of lust or material consciousness. Because if you want to establish your relationship with Krishna, you must understand what is your relationship with this world very, very practically. That your relationship with this world is that you're not the material body and you're not the controller and enjoyer. And the senses, the uncontrolled senses, and following controlled senses are simply increasing and nourishing that type of consciousness. So it's interesting. I mentioned before that the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He's already read the works of Srila Rupa Goswami, and he's read the works of Sri Jiva Goswami, which means the Bhakti Sandarbha. So the philosophical basis of consciousness as found in the Bhagavatam is Sambandh again, is Abhide again, and Priyojan again. That our conception of reality is Krishna and Krishna's energies, and we're an energy of Krishna, and we're meant to serve Krishna. The method of realizing that is devotional service, and the experience of doing so is called prema bhakti, which is the goal of life. So, he's worshiping Madan Mohan, who is the presiding deity of Sambandhagyan. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. Divyad Vindaranya Kopa Drumadha Srimad Ratnagara Shinhasanastha Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo Prashtali B. Shavyamanota. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my obeisance unto them. So Govindaji is presiding deity for Abhide again. And this is all the composite knowledge that actually he has to have to actually write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially this Madhya Leela and Antya Leela, which compose the Sesha Leela, the end pastime. So here, a very nice verse about Govinda and Govindaji. The deities of Govindaji are the place, what's called, there's three yoga pits. Yoga pit means place, pit means place, and yoga means union. There's actually three places of formal union with Radha and Krishna, and where Radha and Krishna sit with all the associates for them. And the yoga pit in the morning is at Vrindakund on the western side of Nandishwar, Nandagram. The yoga pit in the midday is Radhakund, where they all meet and the various services. And in the evening, it's by Govindaji in Panchkosh in Vrindavan. So here he's describing it, smarami, and he's remembering. This is called mantra upasana. There are different verses that give us a picture of the spiritual world. And when we meditate on those verses, we can actually compose a picture of the spiritual world. So what's the spiritual world? Divya Indaranya Kopa Dhrumadha. Dhrumadha. What is that? Let me just. Srimad Ratnagara Simhasana Stow. So Simhasana Stow, he's situated. Radha and Krishna, they're situated. They're situated the most beautiful, beneath, a most beautiful Ratna Agar, and a temple of jewels, and a temple of jewels. They're sitting, Kopa Drumada, beneath, in this beautiful, effulgent forest of Vrindavan. They're sitting beneath a desire tree in a temple of jewels in Vrindavan. Underneath, they're sitting, and Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Deva, Radha and Krishna are sitting, Prashtalibi, by their most Prashta, their most confidential associates, Sage Mani. They're being served, Smarami, and I am remembering this. So this is the heart. I'm going to finish up this. Then the Sriman Rasa Rasaram Devamsi Vitata Tasita Karshan Venus and I Gopi Gopinath Siesna. May Gopinathji, who attracts all the gopis with the songs of his flute, has begun the most melodious rasa dance on the bank of the Jamuna and Vamsi, be merciful upon us. So he's putting himself he's opening up that conduit of mercy by worshiping the Supreme Lord in all his manifestations, which are above him, and therefore can bestow. Mercy has to come from above. So first he's worshiping Krishna, in all his wonderful manifestations in Vrindavan, Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Sri Govinda Gopinath, Madana Mohan. So he's worshiping, and then the next verses will be to Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Nityananda, then all the devotees. And this is his heart. The heart of a Vaishnava is to seek the mercy of Krishna and to seek mercy. If you're seeking mercy, you have to put yourself in a humble position. So he's such a great exalted personality who's going to manifest the greatest expressions of the original personality of God in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Govinda Lilamrita, Radha and Krishna. And in a humble way, he's going to glorify in the mood of... So this is associating with the heart of Krishnadas Kaviraj. And he's bowing down now to the Supreme Lord, his spiritual masters, and all the devotees. I'm going to stop here. That was a start of the my lecture in America, but I see one of the mercies of being here is... I will have to try harder, and I'm looking forward to that, because to be here in America and continue to speak on these subject matters, I have to be extra vigilant to remain absorbed in Krishna Katha. Okay, we'll stop for today.